Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you all probably know about Kickstarter by now, right? The crowdfunding platform. In fact, you probably get asked every other week to invest in a friend's documentary or a ceramic tableware venture or in a very innovative new sock design. But now we're seeing more and more crowdfunding efforts around civic projects, public parks, public pools, and other public resources, the kinds of things that city governments have traditionally paid for. So joining us now are two guests steeped in this new world of crowdfunding and crowd resourcing of civic projects. Dong Ping Wong is a founder of the design firm Family and one of the designers behind the Plus Pool. Have you heard about this yet? It's a pool that would be dropped into the East River and filter the water so that it's clean and swimmable. It's also one of the largest crowdfunding civic projects in the world. And Erin Barnes is also here. She's a founder and executive director of IOBI, a crowd resourcing platform for citizen-led neighborhood projects. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And Dong, the Plus Pool sounds so cool. For those people who haven't heard of it or haven't seen the cool renderings of it, what is it?
Well, you described it pretty well. It's basically an Olympic-size, plus-shaped floating pool tethered into the river that filters the water kind of like a giant stream.
Plus-shaped means literally what you said. Literally shaped like a plus sign.
Exactly, right. It's sort of made up of four pools kind of stuck together. The intent was that all sorts of different pools and different kinds of swimmers could use it all at once.
And we have a picture on our website, folks. If you want to see the Plus Pool, go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. By the way, I meant to say earlier that we also have an extended excerpt from Byron Dorgan's book, since we interviewed Senator Dorgan earlier in the show. But you can see both of those things at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And you just reached, I guess you're in the last stretch of your second campaign for this. You just reached, before you walked in the door, your $250,000 goal.
We were hoping it would hit it on air. But it hit it about 2 minutes ago.
If you hit it 5 minutes from now, we could have taken the credit with the Brian Lehrer Show crowd. But still, instead of a large-scale public works project like Robert Moses Municipal Pools all over the city, which is a good thing, public individuals are investing in what would be a free public resource for everyone on a smaller scale.
Yes, exactly. It's exciting to see. I mean, certainly coming from the design and architecture standpoint, it's amazing to see the sort of grassroots way of actually building something like this.
And I'm going to come back in a minute and ask you if this is a good thing when, you know, maybe government should be doing this and we're having to pick up the slack for things that should actually be public projects. But, Erin, let me bring you in here and ask you to explain the word IOBI, I-O-B-Y, which is the opposite of the acronym NIMBY.
Yeah, IOBI is a crowd resourcing platform for the neighborhood leaders who say, yes, this is the positive change that I want to see in my community. So it's a platform for citizen-led, neighbor-funded projects. They tend to be smaller scale, but they're sort of like small-scale, short-term demonstration projects that work in public space and oftentimes sort of give the community an opportunity to reimagine the way that public space could work or feel.
So for an example of this and the way I found out about you, we were both at the recent PopTech City Resilient Conference at BAM, where you made a presentation about IOBI and some of the success you've had since you launched in 2009. So tell our listeners about the Jackson Heights Park project and how that developed as an example.
Sure. The Jackson Heights project is one of my favorites. So a bunch of parents came together. One of the leaders is Donovan Finn. They came together to form the Jackson Heights Green Alliance to address this issue. So most of us know that Jackson Heights is a really special neighborhood. But one thing about it that's really different is that it's incredibly dense. So in New York City, on average, there's about 280 people per acre of open space. But in Jackson Heights, there are 14,000. So it's an incredibly dense area with not a lot of places to play. So this group of parents came together to use a Department of Transportation Play Street permit to shut down the street adjacent to Traverse Park and close it to car traffic and then open it up for play. And so they used IOB to raise a few thousand dollars two consecutive summers and to temporarily close the street in summertime to car traffic and open it up as a playground. And so after doing this for a few years and having the involvement of hundreds of neighbors and raising a few thousand dollars, they were able to sort of show the community what it would be like if the street were permanently a playground. And now they've effectively doubled the amount of open space in Jackson Heights.
So I'm going to go right to a caller because I think we have a question that's very relevant to what you just said. And it's Shelley in West Orange. Hi, Shelley, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Yes, my question relates to where do these projects end up being? If they're, so to speak, crowdsourced, also open to private funding, do they then end up in wealthier neighborhoods, wealthier areas, or do they also then serve the poorer sections of, you know, of town or
wherever? It's a central question because that's where the money is, presumably, in the more affluent neighborhoods. And yet you're talking about this thing in Jackson Heights. You have another one in Bushwick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I want to sort of disrupt everybody's preconceived notions about how funding works in this country. For the most part, it's regular people who give philanthropically to all causes. And so we're seeing the similar trends on IOB. The majority of projects are in underserved communities. People of color lead the majority of projects. 71% of projects are led by women and girls. 70 or 80% of the projects at any given time have some sort of social justice aspect to them. So the majority of what we're working with is actually serving communities that you would hope would have more resources.
And listeners, if anyone else wants to call up, we have a few minutes. What do you think about this model of crowdfunding public civic projects? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or for that matter, if there's anyone out there with a civic project in mind that you're trying to fund, we'll leave a few lines open for you to pitch your project, 212-433-9692, as we continue with Dong Ping Wong, founder of the design firm Family and one of the designers of the Plus Pool, this plus-shaped pool that would be dropped into the East River and filter the water so that you can actually swim in it. They just hit a $250,000 funding goal. And Aaron Barnes, founder and executive director of IOB, I-O-B-Y, In Our Backyards, a crowd resourcing platform for citizen-led neighborhood projects. So I want to ask you both the big philosophical question here, which is that while it is very cool that people are willing to kick in their own money to fund these public projects, do you fear that your successes let the government off the hook and therefore the wealthier taxpayers off the hook for paying for public resources? People might be asking, isn't this what my tax money is supposed to be for?
In short, no. I think what we're seeing and what we really like about these kinds of projects is they are funding platforms, but they're also just a way to vote for what you really believe, what you want to see in the city. And it's a way, I think, that through that vote, you can actually engage city and state officials. You can kind of engage the government in ways that these ideas never could before. So it's really, it's almost just setting the plate for, I think, these new kinds of conversations that can happen with them.
Erin, want to weigh in?
Yeah. I mean, IOB's worked with city governments here in New York. We've worked with the Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability. We've worked with the Sustainability Office in Miami and had conversations with others across the country. And, you know, I think that actually civic crowdfunding can support the work of government and actually help inform the way that government could work. I think projects like Plus Pool are super innovative and probably wouldn't be something that government would come up with. You know, I think that it also has like a special characteristic and creativity in neighborhoods that brings that sense of place and that sense of specialness about certain neighborhoods since it's led by the people there.
Right. But one of the reasons that I'm sure Plus Pool has been so successful in fundraising is that it's just inherently very cool looking. It's, you know, hey, swim in the East River in this plus-shaped pool. It's a, you know, it's a sexy project. But what about those other projects that aren't so sexy but still provide a vital resource?
Well, I think, and Aaron and I were just talking about this before we came in, I think what's nice about it is that with crowdfunding kind of picking up and becoming this amazing new model, so many people can actually go and see that it just sets up the way that people can actually go and see that they can actually have an influence on their own cities, on their communities. So whether it's a large scale, like you said, sexy project, whether it's a small scale project right in their backyard, if anything, to us, it's really just opening the doors for all these projects to start happening.
Let's take another call. Orna in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Orna.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Orla.
Orla, I'm sorry, with an L. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. I find it really trouble. I mean, I completely commend what your guests are doing, but I find it mind-boggling that we learned yesterday that the government is paying fortunes to tech companies to facilitate NSA spying, but apparently hasn't money for all these projects that would actually benefit the community.
Less cell phone surveillance, more playgrounds in Jackson Heights.
I mean, I think that would be great. But, you know, I think that there's something about having civic participation for the sake of civic participation, right? People want to have an active citizenry. It makes our cities better. It makes neighborhoods better. And it also informs the where government should be focusing its efforts, right? So in Jackson Heights, the people who funded that project live within a couple blocks of the project itself. And so you're showing right there that there's community buy-in and support for the project and long-term stewards of the project going forward.
Dong, was Kickstarter plan B for you? Did you go to the city first or the state and pitch them your idea for the plus pool and they rejected it?
Kickstarter was plan A only because we didn't really have a plan when we first put the project out there a few years ago. I think for us, just because of how the project started, which was, you know, just kind of from citizens of the city, we wanted it to be grown that way as well. So we've never actually pitched to the city to actually fund this thing yet. We wanted to make sure that there was backing behind it, that there was support for it, there was something the public wanted first.
Because the money in this case also represents community support.
Exactly.
John in Washington Heights has a project idea. Hi, John. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What you got?
Listen, I'm part of a group that has been fixing up the Riverside Skate Park for the past year or so. And we've been doing it all out of pocket. And we just 2 days ago had a meeting about, now we're going to have to fundraise to really, you know, kick this thing up to the next level. And what does that look like? So, I mean, is it bake sales? Is it Kickstarter? And, so whatever advice you guys have, we could really use, because we're at that point where we got to raise like $50,000.
This is the skateboard park in Riverside Park, which used to exist?
It was built in 1996, and it's made out of wood, and it needs repairs. And it's the kind of thing that will, you know, go away unless it's maintained. Uh-huh. It's made out of wood.
Aaron, advice time. You got any?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an IOB project to me. I mean, I think that you want to start off by thinking about who's going to benefit from this project, right? The people in the neighborhood are going to be super psyched about this. You want to reach out to people who are going to use the park and build up a base of supporters. And I think from there, you've got the beginning of your donor base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it draws kids from all over, you know, because they come to, you know, do a particular thing. They have these ramps there. They go someplace else or they want to do something else. So, It really draws from really as far away as Brooklyn and the Bronx. It's a little bit different that way.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much, John, and good luck with it. Don, you're an architect. You normally have clients who pay you to design stuff for them. Do you think that more and more architects and designers like you will be looking to Kickstarter-type platforms to build projects that don't have clients?
I hope so. And it seems like it's happening. I think there's still a little bit to go until that model really compares or replaces the sort of client-based model. There's a lot of work to be done still. But I think in a lot of ways it allows the design and the intent of the project to kind of come first and then figure out a way that you actually make it happen second.
Aaron, how many IOB-related projects are there at this point?
We've seen the completion of almost 300 of them so far. I think
wow,
there's a
300.
Little, yeah, I think there's a little over 250 live on the site.
All with community donations as financial support?
And the average donation is only $35.
You want to pitch a project that's looking for funding and resources right now?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite ones, and I think this is about having neighborhood innovation on the table, is the Federico Garcia Lorca mural project in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It's this awesome project to paint in a series of four murals the poem Sleepless City all across the neighborhood. And it's this beautiful project, and they're raising $2,000 to $2,500 on the site right now. They're about halfway there, and I think it's making the neighborhood really special.
And so, Don, you've reached this $250,000 goal. And I want to know, when can I go swimming in the plus pool in the East River? Can I do it today?
You can jump in the East River today if you want.
At
your own risk. But the plan for us is to try to have the plus pool in the water by 2016. So they're still a few years away.
Oh, still a few years.
Yeah.
And so what are the next steps? What are you actually going to do with the money that you raised next?
So the money we raised is going almost all exclusively towards what we're calling a float lab. It's really the first time we can test all the filtration materials that we're studying in essentially a mini version of the pool in the river this summer.
I know people have been swimming in the Hudson River for a number of years. Is it dirtier in the East River? Is it a more complicated thing to set up?
Well, people also actually swim in the East River. There's actually a number of really great swim organizations that will organize kind of events throughout the season. Both rivers, I think, have their times when they're certainly too dirty, I think, for anybody to realistically get into. And there's a number of factors for that. But our sense was to make sure that you can swim in it without really the worry of that.
Dong Ping Wong, founder of the design firm Family, one of the designers behind the Plus Pool, hopefully coming in three summers to an East River near you. And Aaron Barnes, founder and the executive director of IOBI, a crowd resourcing platform for citizen-led neighborhood projects. So cool. Thank you both for your work. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks Brian.
Brian
Lehrer on WNYC.